welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. And we are excited to welcome our guest today, who is joining us from across the continent. Please tell everybody who you are and about the book we'll be talking about today.
Hi, I'm Leisha Cornwall. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And my book is The Woman at the Front, and it's a story about World War I and a female doctor. Now, what makes this unusual is that female doctors were not allowed to practice with the British at the front. And of course, a lot of women wanted to, so they found their own way. But she goes and finds a way to make it to the front and to have adventures and make a difference and fall in love. And that's basically what the book is about.
So I think, like, sometimes I'll read something and it will remind me, I mean, librarians, we can be a little smug sometimes. We're like, oh, you didn't know that? I'm a librarian. I research things all the time. I don't think that's the goal. We certainly don't go out for that, but we do like it when we're in company of people who don't know something, and then we can bring our trivia to the table. And one thing that surprised me about this book was I had absolutely no idea that there were women on the front, like Eleanor, and even really just so widely studying and practicing medicine. I had to go and do a little research myself, and just, I mean, certainly not as many female doctors as now, but the names just started popping up, and it was a real knock in the head for me. How did you come about this story?
It started with a family story. I mean, my grandfather fought in World War I, and so did my great uncle, and they were both at a Battle of Vimy Ridge. And my grandfather was behind the lines with the guns, and my great uncle was right up at the front lines, and he was killed at the very earliest part of the battle. And afterwards, my grandfather came forward to look for him, and he was missing, and later declared dead. So when I was about 15, he made me promise to go to France and find his brother's grave, which we finally did. And I decided then that sort of being immersed in that World War I setting, that I wanted to write a book about it. And being a woman instead of a man, I thought, oh, it'll have to be about a nurse. And when I started doing the research and I found out that that female doctors were not allowed by the British, that was the hook that I hung my story on. So, and the research just was absolutely fascinating from there.
Yeah, Eleanor, who's the main character of your book, she's a doctor, and she is already accomplished by the fact that she has completed medical school, but then ends up just having to prove herself over and over and over again.
Yes.
And in the very beginning of the book, she's, you know, trying to prove, I'm a doctor, I can do this. And they're like, well, like you said, we don't allow female doctors on the front, but you could practice as a nurse.
Yes.
And it's like she's educating them. She's like, well, I'm a doctor, and what we do is different.
Yes. And it was the same for a lot of women, I think. I mean, women who went and took over men's jobs in munitions factories and stuff like that, they were paid a lot less and expected to undertake even more danger than men. And women were ambulance drivers on the front, and they were nurses very close to the front. But, you know, people like Eleanor, well, it's like, well, you can stay at home and you can practice on women and children, but you cannot come and practice on soldiers. And a lot of women, medical women who were determined to make a difference, actually raised their own funds and went and got the French to take them, or they formed their own committees and went and set up hospitals in other war zones like Serbia or Mesopotamia, and did a great deal of work there. So yes, that was how they kind of got to participate. They sort of forced their way in wherever they could. So.
Yeah, that sounds very much like Eleanor was an amalgam of people who were doing that, and it just was a really interesting premise, and you know, a premise that was woven from truth. World War One is not written about as widely as World War Two, and you answered my question as to why you are writing about World War One. Not that we should be dismissing it in any way. It just seems like it's been all this time and it's still sort of not covered as much. Were you surprised by any of the people you researched about during that time?
Well, part of the reason why I think that World War One is less popular than World War Two is partially because it's not for Canada. It was a huge war. We were in it for 4 years. We were fighting for the mother country. For the Americans, I mean, you guys came in sort of late, and your contribution was amazingly valuable and important, and you did as much heroic stuff as everyone else, but it didn't last as long. So I don't think it had the impact. I mean, for Canada, it's like this helped make us a country separate from Britain. But some of the people that I researched that were particularly fascinating, there was a couple of nurses who decided, they were motorcycle enthusiasts, and they joined as part of a flying ambulance corps. And then they decided, well, we could do a lot better on our own. So they set up their own frontline aid post. These two nurses out in the middle of nowhere. And they were widely recognized, like widely awarded medals and everything else by the Belgians and nothing from the British. And, you know, Elsie Ingalls, who was an amazing Scottish doctor. I mean, she went over and she did so much good work. And these hospitals that were run by women were just, they were excellent. They had less fatalities than the regular hospitals and they did some good work. They made some incredible innovations to medicine, and yet they weren't recognized. So it's very unfair.
Without a doubt. And I have to point out, so this is not your debut novel, but I think, I don't want to say this is your debut historical fiction, because technically your other books are historical fiction, but they're a little bit more, romance focused. There is romance in this book as well, though.
Yes, my previous books were all hard romance. They were either like the Regency romances or Scottish set romances. This one is they technically call it historical women's fiction, but the publisher said, well, you have a background in romance, so we would like to see a strong romance element in this book. So that's why there is one. And besides, I mean, when I started researching the stretcher bearer and who is the hero, I just couldn't resist. Who couldn't fall in love with him?
So. Yeah, seriously. And I will say, I mean, you know, just looking back, I mean, who doesn't love a little Scottish romance in general? I'm actually a huge, Scotland is one of my favorite places ever.
Yes.
So that was one of the things when I first found out about this book, there was a connection there. I was like, yep, it's got Scotland in it. Here I go.
Yes. And I actually, the characters, the stretcher bearer is named Fraser MacLeod, and some of my other characters in past books were the MacLeod clan. So yeah, there's a little bit of a connection there, which I couldn't resist. So.
Well, I mean, that's nice. Did you find it difficult departing from your normal formula? I don't want to say normal formula. Let me walk that back. Did you find it difficult departing from a hard romance formula?
Not at all, actually, because I found it was very freeing, because I mean, romance has a lot of genre conventions that you have to adhere to. I mean, it's told from, you know, the point of view of two people, they end up together permanently and fall in love. And this way I could sort of, you know, deal with the war a little bit more frankly and the horrors that she's facing, and have a character who is outside the box and a little bit more unusual than possibly romance characters tend to be. So yes, I actually quite found it quite freeing to switch to historical. So
I was pleased to read it, and what I liked was just Eleanor, she just has so much gumption and you could just feel her seething when people were like, oh yeah, your delicate sensibilities or whatever it is, you could, you know, you don't understand, there's anatomy issues and there's blood. And she's like, yeah, I went to medical school, I am aware that these things exist.
She's so different from me. I had to write her as everything I'm not, because I'm, you know, introverted and quiet and shy and retiring. And so, yeah, she's my alter ego, I guess. I mean, that's the nice thing about being a writer. You can create your own life somewhere else.
Well, so I love the cover of this book.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any say, or did they show you a few different versions of it?
Well, when they do cover design, they usually say, well, what do you have in mind? And so you say, well, I would like this, and I would like that, and I would like the other thing. And then they take it to their art department, who says, oh, yes, sure. And then create something that's absolutely stunningly beautiful and comes back with it. So I think we changed the color a little bit and things like that. But otherwise, it was just absolutely gorgeous. They did a wonderful job. So yeah, I'm very pleased with the cover too. I actually painted my nails. I found a color of nail polish in the store that was the same sort of blue on the book. So, and I never paint my nails, so I thought that would be fun.
So. Yeah, that's definitely cool. I love it. It appears that Woman on the Front will be also available in an audio format.
Yes, it will. That will be out on October the 12th. And I can't wait to hear it. It should be absolutely lovely.
Well, so are you familiar at all with Hannah Curtis, who is the narrator?
They sent me several narrators and asked me to choose, and I said, well, I like them all, but I want somebody who can do multiple voices and multiple accents, because there's a variety of people in the story. So I guess that's who they chose for me. And I'm so excited to hear that.
Yeah, well, it looks like she's done quite a few books, including some historical books. So I'm sure that she will be absolutely wonderful. So are you working on another book at the moment?
I am. I'm working on a second book, which will come out next summer. Now it's about in the interwar period, so it takes place in 1936 in Berlin, and during the Olympics. But I was looking for some place to set the story, and I found out that apparently the British, even right up until 1939, were sending their debutantes over to Germany for a bit of polish and a bit of finishing. And I thought that would make a very intriguing story, you know, sending a woman over there and you know, having her sort of discover what the Nazis are doing. And the Olympics were particularly interesting because, I mean, the Nazis, of course, were hiding everything all their policies and everything else, while in the background they're writing memos saying, okay, we want to be ready to go to war in 4 years. So and she sort of ends up helping to discover what is going on. So
that sounds very interesting. And I know that particular Olympics, was that the one, what was his name? Was it Jesse Owens?
Jesse Owens,
yes. Yeah. That's the one where Jesse Owens competed. And I remember learning about that and seeing that sort of come up. And
yes.
Yeah, so really everything was bubbling to the surface at that point. And it also makes me think of In the Garden of the Beasts by Eric Larson. Oh, yes. Have you read that?
Yes, I have. It's an amazing book.
Yeah, I read a lot of different types of books, but I do like some horror, and that book is scarier than any of the fictional horror suspense I have ever read. I mean,
yes, yeah, I agree with you. I agree, and I mean, like the characters in that, the Russians and the diplomat's daughters, and it was just astonishing, just amazing what was going on.
Absolutely. So is the heroine of this upcoming book, how does she compare to Eleanor? Is she another alter ego, or does she have to sort of fight through her introversion? I don't want to talk too much about that because I want to come back to the woman on the front, but I'm curious.
Okay. Well, she's a woman who was sort of raised to another woman who was raised to be, you know, you're going to marry and you're going to have a family, but she has her own ambitions. Now, when I was a kid, one of the things I really, really wanted to be was a photographer for National Geographic. So this character actually has a talent for photography, and that's why she ends up over there. It's like, well, a reporter needs to get into to sort of investigate what's going on, but as an outsider he's not going to be able to. But if she is a guest of a German aristocrat, then, you know, she's just gonna be a girl on holidays with a camera, and she can pretty much shoot anything. So that's sort of how she gets there. So I don't know if she's an alter ego, but she's sort of what I wish I could have done in another life.
So let's talk a little bit about Eleanor's love interest, because we touched on him a little bit before. Okay. So was he based on anybody in particular, or, you know, it's so funny because like when you read certain descriptions of the book or certain reviews, some people compare it to Outlander.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, okay, you know, well, there is, you know, a gentleman who is a love interest and respectful of the young lady who he is the love interest of, but tell us a little bit about him.
Fraser is a stretcher bearer. Now, when I read about the stretcher bearers, how these guys would, they were ridiculed by the other troops because they would stand in the back of the trench when everyone was going over the top, and they'd be standing there with their stretchers and they'd go, why don't you pick up a gun and fight? But they were very glad to see these guys when they actually got out on the field. And they were originally started out as just porters to carry in the bodies of the wounded. And then they realized, well, we're going to need to give these guys some first aid training. So they became the sort of like the first battlefield medics. And they underwent terrible hardships. I mean, their hands, I read that you can always tell a bearer by his hands, because they would get splinters and there would be mud ground into their cuts and everything else from carrying these heavy, heavy stretchers. And the straps would completely destroy their shoulders and scar their bodies. So they were amazing. But I mean, like Fraser is this, he starts off just as a stretcher bearer and thinks, okay, well, people die out here. I'm not going to have any hope that I'm ever going to go home or ever see my family again. And then he meets Eleanor and he thinks, you know, damn, why does she have to come along and remind me of what I may not ever be able to have? And I did a lot of research about sort of the psychology of falling in love in war. And put that in there too. So
where did you research that? Because that is also fascinating.
I can't remember the name of the book, but it was a study on love and all the different variations of it. And one of the chapters was on falling in love in war and how it's a completely new thing. I mean, class doesn't matter. It's a real risk. It's sort of, you're taking something new in amongst the horror and trying to sort of forge together something that's going to make you happy in a time of great unhappiness. And I just thought that was such a fascinating idea. So yeah, that went into the book.
Yeah, no, because there is a class difference between them. I mean, Eleanor, you learn in the beginning, she's from a family that is of some sort of, I don't know what the-
Middle class.
I'm sorry?
They'd be middle class.
Middle class, yes. Which I think is slightly different than what we would consider middle class today. Yes. But she is expected to marry a certain way.
Yes.
And being the wife of somebody like Fraser is not what's expected of her.
Well, he's going to go back to the, if he survives, he's going to go back to the Highlands and be a gamekeeper like his father. And, you know, he'll be an ordinary working man. Whereas she is a doctor and the daughter of a doctor. And, you know, her family has connections with higher classes. So she's expected to marry well and rise and help her family do that. So, you know. But the gamekeeper's bad for
right, of course. So is there anything else you would like to tell the audience, anything specific about the book or your writing process?
I had a wonderful time writing this book, and lately in creating new materials for publicity and things like that, getting to revisit the research, it was such a fascinating time in history, and I think it's so unsung. I mean, like it's like the grandfather's war rather than your father's war. And it's the black and white war, I guess. So yeah, it's worth finding out about some of the people. And there are so many good books out there. And the nice thing is that you can read so many accounts in books like Lifeline and can't remember some of the other ones that I read, but yeah, they're wonderful. And because we've just had the 100th anniversary of the end of the war, a lot of these books were, especially in Britain, and they were very, very popular, and they were coming out with, you know, collections of new information about the war. So yeah, people should take a look at some of those books. And there are some excellent fiction books, and Kate Quinn and Jennifer Robson. I mean, their books are wonderful about that time period.
One more question. What do you like to read yourself?
What do I like to read? A lot of nonfiction, a lot of historical fiction. I read very diversely, so I will read a lot of different stuff. I just finished an advanced copy of Stephanie Marie Thornton's A Most Clever Girl, which is about Elizabeth Bentley, who was a spy, and she was an American spy who worked for the Russians during World War II in the US. And that was a very fascinating story. I really enjoyed that. So
no. Very cool. No, thank you so much. So once again, this was Jessica with Turn the Page Podcast. Our guest today was
Leisha Cornwall.
And we hope to have you back with your next book. Does it have a title, or you're not allowed to say yet?
It does have a title. It's called That Summer in Berlin.
Oh,
excellent. So they're just doing the cover for me now. So I'm waiting to see it. And I believe it's supposed to be out next summer or next year at some point. So that's to be announced.
So. Fabulous. Thank you so much, Leisha. And we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.